Welcome. It's Sunday, July 3rd, 2022. Our scriptures this week are from Luke 10, 1 through 16, and Galatians 6, 1 through 6. Our message scripture this week comes from 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And the title of our message this week is Spiritual Leprosy, the Healing of the soul. So if you would please open your Bibles and read with me from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 16. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. So when you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment day than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Our second reading is from the Epistle of Galatians, chapter 6, 1 through 6. Paul writes, "Doing good to all. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you will also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. They can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. And anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor." Our message scripture this week from 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 1 through 14. Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the kings of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now the bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Well, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send me someone to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have a man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any waters of Israel? Could I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. When Naaman's servants went to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as a man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. They say I'm a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. How many of you remember that song by Mac Davis? Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus appointed 72 disciples that he sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. And he sent them with this warning, Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. What do you think Jesus meant when he told the 72 disciples that they were lambs among the wolves? Well, I believe he wanted them to understand what they were getting into. Their task would be dangerous, and often they would be rejected. And Jesus was upfront about what would happen if they worked for him. So Jesus gave them specific instructions in verse 8 when he told them, So when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. I believe this instruction was more of a warning than an instruction. Jesus was warning them about the dangers of pride and preconceived notions that we often take with us. It seems we all have a tendency to be singing that song written by Mac Davis, Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. We often forget what Jesus told us in verse 16. He who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So let's look at this in today's perspective. I mean, I heard about an atheist who had a severe back injury, and he lived with constant pain. He'd seen the best doctors he could find. He went to a major medical center. He had taken thousands of dollars worth of treatments, but found no relief. So he visited a chiropractor, found no relief. So he tried acupuncture to no avail. And the last course of action he tried was to swallow his pride and go to a faith healer. Well, you can't blame him. It must be awful to suffer constantly and to have little hope of healing. And there are millions like him, people who have an ailment, suffering in agony with the anxiety of never being able to find a cure for their pain. Naaman, whose story is told in our scripture reading, was one such person, inflicted with a dreadful disease that in his day was quite incurable. He was a high-ranking officer in the army of Syria, a country that was one of Israel's enemies. He was an important man who had the ear of Syria's king, but he had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a terrible disease of the skin. It gradually ate away skin, then bones and joints, and often resulting in deformity or paralysis and eventually death. I mean, if you've seen the movie Braveheart, you may remember the father of Robert the Bruce, whose face was being eaten away by leprosy. Anyway, we can imagine that Naaman had already consulted the leading doctors of Syria, because he was a friend of the king. And it's likely that the king had even made his personal physicians available to Naaman, but it had done no good. So now it happened that Naaman had a young Jewish slave girl in his home, and she told him about the Hebrew prophet, Elisha, and his power to heal. Naaman was so desperate that he was willing to try anything, even going to the land of his enemies to visit a prophet he didn't believe in. After all, what did he have to lose? But when Naaman and his entourage arrived at Elisha's door, they were insulted to find that Elisha himself didn't even bother to come out and greet them. Instead, the prophet sent a messenger out who told Naaman to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River to be healed. Well, that was hardly what Naaman expected to hear. His sense of propriety was offended. He was to dip in that dirty old Jordan, a river in his enemy's land? What an insult! Why, there were at least 2 rivers in Syria that were cleaner than the Jordan, and they were on home ground at that. So why couldn't he wash in one of those? Well, so Naaman, he turned his crew around, and he left in a huff. In need of more than physical healing of leprosy, but a healing of the soul. He had what I call spiritual leprosy also. Fortunately, Naaman's servants were a little more level-headed and persuaded their master to try Elisha's prescription. Naaman did. He went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan and emerged completely healed. A couple of things interested me in Naaman's story. The first is Naaman's servants. Whether or not they were captives from Israel in his service, we're not told. But what we are told is that they held a belief in the cure for spiritual leprosy. So God must have intervened in helping them persuade Naaman to return to the river by their gentle persuasion in an appeal to his logic. They must have gently approached him when they said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more, then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" They were dispensing the cure for spiritual leprosy. Can I call it what it is? Sin. The sin of pride. And Paul wrote about this cure in our reading in Galatians. Paul wrote, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." Well, too often, when someone is hurting and has let their pride, their spiritual leprosy, get in their way, they need a gentle reminder. Many times we Christians are too harsh in giving that reminder. We tell them what to do, whether or not they want it, and not in a gentle way. So healing of the soul is to be done in a gentle way. And many of us forget the last part of the verse where Paul wrote, "But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Many of us come down with spiritual leprosy ourselves, forgetting to whom the healing should be credited. We get caught up in the moment, forgetting to whom the credit should be given. Remember the words of Jesus in Luke 10:16: "He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." Well, the second thing that got my attention in Naaman's story today is his resistance to Elisha's instructions. For it's not unlike the resistance some of us may feel to some of the church's prescriptions for the healing of the soul. I mean, we've all heard those time-worn prescriptions from the church. Read your Bible, pray every day, attend worship every Sunday, trust and obey, do unto others, take up your cross, believe in Jesus, and the like. We may well say to ourselves, "Why? I've heard all those things ever since I was a child. They're okay, but my problem today, too big for such simplistic advice. I need some real help." And even if we don't feel that way ourselves, we can certainly understand why a person might take such a position. After all, most of us have already discovered that the healing of the soul, a life of faith, even when supported by regular devotional life and consistent church attendance, just does not solve all of our problems. The fact is, there have been many times for most of us when we have discovered help from sources outside of the church and religion. I mean, for almost every aspect of human life, we can name an institution, a science, a method, or a school of thought that has been created to respond to our problems. I mean, if you're physically ill, you can turn to medicine. If you're mentally upset, you can turn to psychiatry. If you have trouble expressing your emotions, you can join a sensitivity group or an encounter group. And if you are in poverty, yeah, the government is probably a better source of long-term help than the church. But many of the secular sources of healing are great, and thank God we have them. And further, some of them even complement the spiritual healing of the soul. So remember, one of the saddest realities of life is that many otherwise sound and talented people suffer from a kind of spiritual leprosy. And when that is the case, medicine, psychiatry, education, and the like are not by themselves the source of healing. You see, what we are talking about is not whether the secular sources of help, like Naaman's preferred rivers of Syria, are more appealing than the spiritual sources. The real question is, what can cure spiritual leprosy? What is needed for the healing of the soul? And the answer to that question is already known to us. Go wash in the Jordan and you will be healed. Or to put it in a more familiar phrase, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The problem is, most of us have heard that advice so often that many of us from childhood on, that it has a trite ring to it. But think with me for a moment about what following the way of Jesus really means. For one thing, it means being a part of a believing community that we call the church. I mean, what other institution is there that sanctions the pursuit of holiness, compassion, the meaning of life as a legitimate enterprise? And what other alternative is there that so fully provides the resources for spiritual growth? What other place is there where children are nurtured in faith? I mean, what other place encourages and energizes the examination of social issues, not only in terms of what would be helpful, but also in terms of what would be right? I mean, where else are deaths mourned, but mourned in the hope of eternal life? Those of us for whom church attendance is a regular practice are doing a great thing for our lives. That's because week after week, we have the opportunity to view our lives from a faith context, to reorient ourselves and to keep in perspective the other rivers of help. So we share our lives with fellow worshipers who struggle with issues of their own lives in light of faith. We learn, again, the power of praying for one another. We're caring about one another. Even when a worship service, like the dirty old Jordan River and Naaman story, is less appealing than some of the secular sources of help, it is still a place where healing of the soul is promoted. Too many stand with Naaman, pondering strange instructions, instead of carrying them out. The prescription for Naaman's healing was, if you want to be cured of your leprosy, go wash in the Jordan. The prescription for our world today, the cure for spiritual leprosy, for the healing of the souls, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So Monday, as we celebrate Independence Day, we as believers should also celebrate our independence from sin and gently remind others that too many in our nation suffer from spiritual leprosy and are in need of a healing of the souls. Will you be like the captive young girl from Israel or Naaman's servants who gently reminded the world that there is a need for a healing of the soul and there is but one cure for spiritual leprosy? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.